Every Tuesday, Current State focuses on the environment in Michigan or the Great Lakes. Last week, state environmental officials designated Michigan's tiny piece of Lake Erie an impaired waterway. That's because algae blooms have become more common there and threaten fish and other wildlife. The algae blooms are mainly the result of fertilizer runoff into the lake from farms. You'll remember that in the summer of 2014, 400,000 people in the Toledo area were briefly unable to drink city water because algae had created unsafe levels of a particular toxin. Now, this impaired designation is important because it can lead to stronger federal action. To learn more about the designation from an environmental angle, we welcome Michael Schreiberg, Great Lakes Regional Executive Director at the National Wildlife Federation. He's based in Ann Arbor. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
How did you respond when you heard Governor Snyder making this designation?
Well, very positively. This is pollution that not only shut down the city of Toledo's water system, but this is pollution you can literally see from space. It's very clear under the Clean Water Act that this protection is needed and legally required, but it actually takes political will to make it happen. And so we view this very favorably, although it is clearly the beginning of a long process. It's not the end of a process.
Were you expecting it? Were you anticipating this?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because it's clear that this is a mandate under the Clean Water Act. But no, because oftentimes good policy doesn't overtake the politics. In this case, that happened, but you can never guarantee those sorts of outcomes in Lansing, to be honest with you.
Such a designation could lead to federal action, more stringent pollution controls. What kind of controls? What can you tell us about what could stem from this?
Well, the biggest thing that it does is it creates a pollution diet for the Great Lakes, for Lake Erie specifically. And that means you look at all the sources of pollution that are coming in that are causing these massive algal blooms, which vary a bit by year, but we saw a huge one last year and in other years. And you see what the sources are, and then you distribute the amount of reductions needed in pollution amongst those sources. It's pretty hard to make progress until you know exactly where the pollution is coming from and exactly what you need to get there. It then has tools under the Clean Water Act to actually manage that pollution and reduce it to the level where the lake is hopefully no longer impaired, meaning you can use it for drinking water, meaning it's not harming aquatic life and fish.
We most often hear of fertilizer fertilizer runoff from farms as being the main culprit. Is that it, or are there other contributing factors?
Well, that is the dominant contribution. It's certainly agriculture. It's fertilizer and it's manure. I mean, what happens is it's put on the fields, and particularly when you have big storms, it washes away into rivers and streams, and it winds up in the lakes. It feeds these algae blooms, and then you wind up with what we've seen in Lake Erie. There are other sources, wastewater treatment plants, urban runoff, et cetera. Now, those sources are small in comparison, but they're not insignificant. Something like, the estimates vary, but something like 70 to 80% of the pollution comes from agriculture.
So it appears the ball is now in the EPA's court. Do you have any thoughts on how they might respond?
Yeah, I mean, I think the EPA is going to respond positively to Michigan's designation because it is so clear under the Clean Water Act that Lake Erie is impaired. If Lake Erie isn't impaired, and that's the technical term for it, it's hard to see what body of water would be. I mean, this is not subtle here. We've probably all seen the images of the deep green water in the lakes from years past. So this is right under the definition of it, and I'd be surprised if the U.S. EPA does not act favorably towards what Michigan is proposing.
And when do you expect a response?
Well, they have 30 days under statute to do that, although they have regularly ignored that deadline in the past. But 30 days, and the clock just started on that on Thursday.
And I understand that Ohio has determined its part of Lake Erie is not impaired. How does that impact Michigan's opposite conclusion?
Yeah, this is where it starts to get very interesting. Ohio has actually said that their part of the open waters of Lake Erie, and that's most of Lake Erie, I should add. Michigan has a very small percentage of Lake Erie itself, just the very, very northern
part. Like 2%, right?
About 2%, that's right, of the open water. is not impaired. Ohio is defying logic on that. It's hard to see under the same criteria in the Clean Water Act how Ohio can come to the conclusion that Lake Erie is just fine, whereas Michigan says it's impaired. I think that the U.S. EPA is going to side with Michigan, as it should, and actually has the authority over Ohio to declare it impaired in Ohio as well. I mean, it's one body of water. It defies logic to say the pollution doesn't stop at the border of Ohio and Michigan. And I think that the EPA will do the right thing on this.
There are already agreements in play involving these algae blooms. There's one involving states, Michigan and Ohio. There's something else with Canada. Does Michigan's designation impact existing agreements or existing algae abatement efforts that are already in play?
Yeah, what it does is support it. What's happened, we have what I would consider a handshake agreement between the governors of Michigan and Ohio, as well as the premier of Ontario, to cut pollution by 40%. We also have the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement, which is joint between the U.S. and Canada, that also gets to that same amount. But what we have now, this impairment actually falls under the Clean Water Act. That is a strong tool that gives you legal backing, and it actually gives you something that will last beyond what are essentially voluntary and handshake agreements. So these tools are all very complementary towards each other, and they build on each other. And I think that's the important lesson to take away from this. But the Clean Water Act is the tool that, you know, has been in place since 1970 to actually help clean up waterways. So it's critical that it's used to the maximum effect for Lake Erie.
One Michigan farm group said the designation was unnecessary and wouldn't solve the algae problem. Jim Byram of the Michigan Agribusiness Association said, and I'll quote here, "Instead of encouraging constructive solutions, today's announcement sets the table for even more government mandates, largely driven by fringe groups out to dismantle Michigan agriculture." Any validity to those points?
Well, there's so much wrong with this statement. It's hard to know where to start. It seems like he's considering the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality a fringe group in some way. But ultimately, this is about agriculture stepping up to the responsibility not to poison our drinking water and pollute our lakes. It is the waste from that industry that is actually causing this problem. No other industry gets away with their waste actually contaminating other uses without actually taking some responsibility. So it's a little surprising that somebody who I think knows better than that, someone from the Agribusiness Association, would try and really absolve themselves of the responsibility. Agriculture is the dominant source of the pollution, and they'll have to be a dominant part of the solution for this, as well as other contributing factors. But it seems to me like this is kind of a statement without merit, and I'm not sure exactly where it stems from.
This is Current State's weekly environmental segment. Our guest today, Mike Schreiber, Great Lakes Regional Executive Director of the National Wildlife Federation based in Ann Arbor. While we've got you on the program here, Mike, there's intense speculation about a Trump administration's impact on all kinds of policy, but the Great Lakes are one of those things. There are different comments, different signals to digest here. What do you think?
Well, it's really hard to know, and I don't want to totally punt on that question, but it's early to know. We have some really bad signals. I mean, we have a transition team for the EPA that's headed up by a climate denier who really seems to have no basis in science in what he's talking about. We also have a candidate in Donald Trump who has said that he would like to eliminate the EPA, for example. On the flip side, on the Great Lakes, we have Donald Trump campaign on record as saying they support the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, one of the core programs to clean up the lakes, and they have big investments in infrastructure. So you tell me, you've got a candidate that says they want to eliminate the agency, but they support a program to clean up the Great Lakes. Mm. Pretty hard to know how to interpret that.
Yeah. You are Current State's first guest who serves on the state's Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. I feel obligated to ask you about this. You and the other members were appointed by Governor Snyder, and one of your main responsibilities is to organize a risk analysis study of Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline running near the Mackinac Straits. Talk to us about the process so far. How far along is it?
Well, we're in the initial stages. There are consultants that are working on talking about or analyzing what exactly is at risk from Line 5. So over 700 miles of shoreline and 17,000 square miles of open water are potentially at risk for an oil spill. We have some of the best experts in the world that are looking at what that would mean in putting a dollar amount on it, drinking water, recreational tourism, all the other pieces on that. In parallel, there's a group that's actually looking at the alternatives to Line 5. So if Line 5 were to not carry oil anymore and were to be shut down, how would oil transport in the region look? What are the alternatives and what are the costs and benefits? Those are two studies that are underway right now. From my perspective, I wish they were going a little bit more quickly, but this is really important work that ultimately I believe is going to lead to decommissioning Line 5. That's the stated goal of the Attorney General, and this is part of that process. Mm.
What is the timeline like here? When do you expect to have your risk analysis finished?
It'll be finished next fall, so we're a little under a year out from that, and that's why I'm saying I wish it was a faster process, but it takes some time to do this analysis, and it's about September is when it'll be done.
The Wildlife Service supported the University of Michigan study from earlier this year that looked into the potential impact of a Line 5 spill. You quoted the 700 miles of Great Lakes shoreline potentially vulnerable to a spill. I think that study is where that number came from, if I understand this all correctly. What, more broadly, Mike, what do you think of the U of M study?
Well, I think this was a great piece of work, and that was what I was referring to before. We had the best scientists in the world and the experts on the Mackinac Straits look at what happens if oil spills, because this is a really complex ecosystem here. You actually have water that can flow 10 times the volume of Niagara Falls, but it doesn't flow in one direction. One day it could be flowing towards Lake Huron, the other day towards Lake Michigan, and you can have different flow at the bottom, middle, and top. You mix that in with winter conditions and the high waves and all those things, and you have a very, very complex environment. So we worked with the University of Michigan to get the best expertise that there is out there to look at various spill scenarios and see what would happen. That's actually forming the baseline for all of the state's work. And when you have an institution like the University of Michigan around, you want to use that expertise to inform your policy decisions. So, and that's what we help facilitate.
So their study is playing a key role in what in your study that you will be creating.
That's right. Their study is forming the baseline of the study that the Pipeline Safety Advisory Board is overseeing. So the University of Michigan basically gave, if you think of it, they put out a map that said, here's the likelihood in different areas that a spill could impact them. What's happening now, the risk analysis is filling in those areas and saying, what exactly is at risk? What are the assets there for the state? What is the value of those things? So the University of Michigan set the baseline. The consultants working on this right now are going at least a level or two deeper.
Mike Schreiberg is the Great Lakes Regional Executive Director of the National Wildlife Federation. We've been talking about last week's action by Michigan officials designating its portion of Lake Erie an impaired waterway because of harmful algae blooms. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Current State discusses Michigan's environment every Tuesday. Our segments and others about the Great Lakes environment can be found at WKAR.org and at GreatLakesEcho.org.